Gym Shorts podcast series. I am your host, Kathy Smith. Today we are talking about preparing your middle grades kids for reading to learn. We will meet Laura McCready, 8th grade language arts teacher, to discuss steps you can take to help your middle schoolers become confident parts of a group discussion, feel organized in their learning, and understand more about theme, lessons learned from texts, and how it applies to everyday life. Hi, today we are talking with Laura McCready, 8th grade language arts teacher. Laura and her husband, Rich, are parents of 3 grown daughters and recently new grandparents to their grandson, Brock. Laura has taught 8th grade language arts for 22 years. Her experience as both educator and mother and grandmother gives her some pretty good insights as to how to get kids ready for middle school and some highlights she recommends for helping them move forward from learning to read to reading to learn. First, Laura, hi, and thank you so much. We're excited to have you with us today.
Thank you.
The first thing I want to just ask you, Laura, we'd love to start our conversations out with getting to know you a little bit, and we love literacy. So as a literacy and language arts teacher, I think it's a great question. Laura, what was your favorite childhood book, and tell us why?
Well, I can tell you my favorite childhood book that I love to read to our grandson now.
Perfect.
And our own kids too, I think, is Chicka Chicka Boom Boom. I love that because it rhymes and it's whimsical and it's almost lyrical besides being bright and engaging and teaches the alphabet too. Well, knowing how important language development is from the preschool age, mm-hmm. I read to him all the time. And, you know, even just having him hold a book and flip the pages himself and just engage with a text. That's probably my biggest thing, is not that I want to make everything about, you know, a learning experience, but it is such a developmental age that's so impactful for their whole lives. You know, before you come to school, those pre-K years are
priceless.
Really important. And so just to always make sure that you are teaching as part of your parenting and grandparenting, you know, that's kind of, I think, what my little niche is. So playing and making conversation and taking technology completely out of his world and just focusing on play and reading. I think that's my biggest takeaway from grandparenting so far.
I love that. Yeah, that's one of my faves too. Thanks, Laura. So we're going to start with a broader perspective and then move to more about reading to learn. Moving to middle school, it can be a delicate transition from making new friendships and friend groups to navigating academic expectations, to being exposed to things like social media and online bullying and social emotional changes that kids have to go through as puberty strikes. Laura, what is one thing parents or kids leaving the elementary grades should focus on that you would encourage?
I would say initially, you know, just making sure that they are making friendships with other students and that they feel that you don't notice that they're apprehensive to go to school, that they feel confident when they leave in the morning and that they seem happy and ready to be engaged during the day. And then I would say as they get into 8th grade, our focus is not only that, but also on their social, emotional, and academic learning. And so just making sure that they're on track with their grades and that you're not, you know, completely telling them all the time to get going on your grades, but that you're also paying attention because they are 13 and 14 years old in my grade, and they still need some parent help and direction with how to navigate academics. Because academics now are different than when you went to school and when we went to school. And there are a lot more expectations for rigor. And I think students need more help and parents to help guide them through that process instead of just say, okay, do it, and have them try it on their own.
Yeah, I think that's very important. I think when we were little, we probably, our parents said, go. That was fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you think that kids in middle grades are prepared for the expectations that you have, especially as eighth grade, for homework deadlines, understanding study skills? Do you think by the time they get to your level at eighth grade that they understand that? Or what are some things parents might be able to do to help?
I think kids are still developing that constantly. So if you notice that your students' grades are not where they would like them to be, or it seems like they're struggling with a certain content area, then I would say maybe some organizational strategies would be the first way to help your child. And so the other thing then obviously is to contact the teacher and just ask them what's going on in the classroom that I could help with at home or support at home, and have that communication. I think it's really important to communicate with the teacher that what do they notice, and then what can I do at home to support that.
Laura, we know that as kids get older, the focus becomes more about friend groups and less parental relationships. I'm sure that you see that a lot at that eighth grade level. I know that our focus is kind of broad at this point, and we'll get more into language arts, but do you think there's anything that you'd suggest for parents to keep that relationship open for kids at that age so that they are getting their homework done, or they are doing their reading, or they are doing those things as they're facing that teenage angst?
I would say being present with your kids, putting your own devices away so that when you're with your child, that your focus is solely on them and how their day was and what they did and what they liked about their day, and showing them that they are the most important thing to you. Because I think we can all get involved in our devices and be a little bit distracted when it comes to what's going on. And we for sure want to show our children that they're most important, and we put that away. And then if we can model that for our kids, that at different times in our lives, it's important to put away technology and really be present with our interactions and those people that we want to be with, then that can help them in their relationships outside of your house.
You were talking a little bit about phones and that distraction that kids have. As a teacher, what are your thoughts on teens and phones, especially as it relates to learning in your classroom?
Well, it's kind of two sides, two-sided. We need technology, but phones can be such a huge distraction. So in our school, we don't allow phones in middle school.
Okay.
And so when students come to school, they can have it until 8 a.m. and we start school at 8:10. And so they have that time to communicate and interact and, you know, be online and be social. But then that goes into their locker for the rest of the day until school is out at 3:10. And I think that helps with the focus and being in school for academic purposes and not such a distraction, because the minute they hear a phone ding or their phone is right by them, their first inclination is to pick it up and to look at it. And I think that's any human, and you know,
that's pretty natural
response. But for kids, it's really helpful if it's just not with them during the school day. And then as far as having technology, I would say the biggest thing at home then is to set parameters on when kids can be online. And I have parents tell me that, you know, they'll turn off their child's cell phone at a certain time at night so that they can go to sleep. It's not right by them. They don't even let them have that in their bedroom, because, you know, anyone, if your phone starts to ring or ding in the middle of the night, it wakes you up from a much needed sleep for that age child. And so just being able to put that away, I think is really helpful.
Laura, we talk about changing from learning to read in elementary school to reading to learn in middle school. As teacher or families are preparing their kids for middle school and even till eighth grade, are there reading lists that you recommend that kids are reading during the summer? How many books? What do you suggest for parents that want their kids to be ready for eighth grade?
I would say for sure looking at any summer reading list would be great. If your child is a reluctant reader, then read with them. It's still fine when kids are in eighth grade even to read with your child. They love to hear it. They learn from listening to you read and how you approach vocab that maybe is, you know, could be unfamiliar to them. You can explain that to them. They don't lose comprehension then, but just also finding the right genre that your child likes. I would say choice books within my content area within the eighth grade is probably the most popular when students can pick what they want to read. And then we support their learning through lessons that are mini lessons at the beginning of the hour. And then they work on that skill while they're reading a book that is more interesting to them than maybe something that I would have them read as a whole class.
Which brings me, are there good, like you were saying, sometimes parents can actually reach their kids at home. Should they be having book talks with their kids about what you're learning in class? Like if they're reading, you know, The Outsiders or whatever your classroom book is, are there things that parents can support at home around that, having a book talk to, you know, do you recommend?
I have parents that will read a book alongside their children. So when they come home, they can ask them specific questions about, oh, what did you think about this part of the book? What do you think this character is doing? What do you like about, you know, the plot so far? What's intriguing about the conflict? And so if you could read in tandem with your child, then I think that opens up that communication and shows interest in not only what they're learning in school, but also engaging with your child in a whole different way.
And helping them as they mature, having conversations, just normal conversations with adults. How can parents be more active in their middle school's day-to-day activities?
Make sure that when they come home from school, they have that designated time to focus on homework. And then when they're done with that, you can certainly have conversations about that, but also give them some time to have a little bit of social time or play time or dinner with just conversation and a little bit aside from academics focus.
A couple other questions that I had for you. One of them, you had mentioned you let kids choose their books. Is there any kind of things that with genres that you're like, hey, you know, we want them to read something more than a graphic novel, or we want them, I mean, is there anything that's kind of off limits, or do you just say, hey, reading is reading. We love it. The more you can do.
Well, we have two kinds of reading, I guess. We have choice reading, which could be something that a student is reading whatever they want to read. Okay. And that's kind of open. It's not academic focused. It's mm-hmm. more reading for enjoyment. Okay. And then we have the academic reading, which is something that we would have students check out a book, and then they could have choice within that unit, and it might be, you know, either a multi-genre unit that's focused on theme, or it could be a single genre but multiple choices within that genre. So we're still all connected together that way, but academics are a different purpose for reading. So if our goal is to, you know, work on comprehension and reading skills, then that's going to be something that we do as a whole class with that book versus a choice book for pure enjoyment.
What do you think your thoughts are on video games. Does that take away? Does it distract? Is there any part of video games that can be learning? What are your recommendations?
Yeah, I mean, there are video games that can be helpful in the classroom. You can do games that will review any kind of concept that you're trying to teach, mm-hmm. and that can reach kids that really do enjoy video games. Mm-hmm. However, then games can also be a distraction during a learning skill or during a concept that we're trying to teach and instruct. Video games can be difficult. So then on iPads in school, we can have kids only have certain access to different apps that we want them to be using rather than just open for any kind of apps that they want to pull up video games and play. Yeah. And so, yeah, they can be helpful. I would say for parents, definitely put a limit on the amount of games that they're playing outside of school, because for one, kids can stay up really late at night playing video games and they're very tired for school the next day and they're not as focused. And that can be a distraction in and of itself. So I would say, yes, there can be great ways that you can use games in class as a review and to help teach a concept. But then for English, it's not as common in our content area to have a lot of games to support our learning. It's more of games to help maybe review for a concept.
So important. I mean, you're singing to the choir here. Another question, and one maybe last. What challenges are parents and kids and teachers facing as we move towards more of an AI environment? Are you learning from your level? How do we introduce AI? Is that going to be a part of your teaching? What do you think about it?
Well, so new. Right now, we're trying to figure out how to approach AI and how to use it constructively as maybe a guide for learning rather than for kids to use it as they're learning. So, and not that I, you know, say kids use that to write a paper, but they certainly can. Yeah. And so, you know, how can we use AI constructively rather than as a replacement for learning? Because that is definitely an easy way for kids to replace their learning, and it is not helpful. It's difficult in our content area right now to have AI so readily available. ChatGPT, for example.
How do you monitor that as an educator?
Well, there are different online programs that can identify whether something has been written, you know, a percentage of a student's own learning, or was that generated by AI? And you can see then, that's probably not something that they wrote, or yeah, that is something that they wrote themselves. And so that helps, but it's so new that we're trying to figure out.
Yeah, the tricks around it, or
yes, yeah, and I have heard kids say that, you know, they'll use AI to maybe build
their vocabulary, maybe, or
yeah, just even for a paper to help build an outline for them to put their thoughts together, or you know what concepts they could put in different paragraphs, but. Like I said, it's so new that
I can't imagine what you guys are facing right now.
Yeah.
It's scary. Even where I come from, people are like, oh, I can write a story for your magazine in a minute. That's a challenge for you guys.
Yeah, we have started doing a lot more in-class writing and writing that we only do during the hour. That includes a little bit more reflection, things that aren't reliant on AI or wouldn't be useful for our purpose then. So, but it definitely has been a challenge to figure out how to navigate.
After 22 years of education and teaching, you must have seen a lot of change. And
yeah,
you know, what are your thoughts on the future of language arts in eighth grade?
I think kids still love to read. And the one difficult thing about going from elementary school to, you know, middle school and high school is that kids are reading more for academic purposes. So if we can still have fun with reading, then kids will want to read. So how do we approach that then within the classroom? By giving them choice in what they can read and trying to continue to grow that engagement through choice. And it doesn't mean that we have to always give choice units in language arts, but definitely giving options is, I think, really helpful. And then finding genres that kids like. And, you know, they're not always going to love every single genre that we are reading, but within that, hopefully there is a book that touches them and that they really have enjoyed. And then giving them time to discuss it with a group, because middle schoolers are very social beings. So having opportunities for them to discuss with other kids reading their same book and giving them a format to use to discuss from, maybe, you know, what I have them do is prior to group discussions, I give each one a job, and then their focus for those, you know, 2 or 3 days of reading is to look for elements that are required within that reading job. And then when they come to group discussion time, they have their job completed, and then they can have a foundation to use to discuss with, so that everyone is engaged. They're all talking about something related to the book, but a little bit of a different focus in that book. So it makes them interested, and they do like to see what they do like to hear what their friends are learning about their book that maybe they didn't really catch. And so they do love group discussion days where they can talk about it. And as long as you model from the beginning of the school year how you want them to look when they're in group discussion, then as the year progresses, they get even better and better at knowing, okay, I need to come to group discussion ready and have all my information in front of me. And then we just talk, and they really like that.
That's such a great way for them to feel engaged and be a part of a group, and that social piece that you said, especially that age group, and to see what their friends are getting out of that book. And that's really a way to get everybody involved instead of someone who kind of shrinks back in the background because they might not have seen or read their piece or.
And we talk about that too with, you know, how can we engage group members who are a little apprehensive in a group environment? What can we do to make everyone feel comfortable and safe to be able to talk? Well, having all of your information ready to go in front of you helps kids feel comfortable and safe, and they don't feel like, oh, what am I supposed to talk about? Because it's all right there and ready to go for them. But then also encouraging each other to feel comfortable and validating what they say. So we do a lot of that at the beginning of the year to set up that success later on when we do have those group discussions. They're very adept at the skill of communicating with each other.
Do you feel like getting to eighth grade from sixth and seventh grade, is there a lot of now focusing on learning or reading to learn? And is that, do you see the kids by eighth grade ready to do that? Or
We still do that. We do note-taking strategies while reading. We cover different reading skills that they would need in different content areas, because it's not, you know, it's very different to read a nonfiction text than it is to read what we read most often in language arts. But we want them to understand how is a textbook structured so that I can understand what I'm looking for and what, you know, elements are in a nonfiction text versus a fiction text. And so that, we still do prep them for reading to learn, especially in other content areas. And then we read nonfiction text in English in my language arts class too, so that they can see what literary nonfiction is like versus a structured textbook versus a fiction novel.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. And last but not least, I'm going to ask you, of all the books that you teach, what is your favorite to teach?
I would say we read The Outsiders in eighth grade, and it's a pretty old book, but kids still love it because the themes are universal and they relate to them, to characters in the story, but in a different way. For they like to see a little bit of all of these concepts, these themes that would be relevant back when the book was written, also be relevant in their world today. And books are always a great way to bridge the generations, I think. And so it's a really fun book to talk about with kids, and they enjoy a little bit of the, you know,
yeah, being a little bit naughty or getting
being some of the things that the characters in the book would do. They are a little bit surprised that they would do that, but then you know, they find that intriguing too, that
you would teach that and that they could read about that. And
and it's another book too where, you know, parents will say, oh my gosh, I read that when I was in eighth grade. And then they can talk about that and laugh about that and enjoy, you know, the things that they can connect with their kids in that particular way. And I mean, of course, I love reading classics with my students too. So I don't know if there are any books that I would say that I don't love, because they all open up new, different ways to talk with kids about what their interests are.
That's awesome. All right, then one last one, classics. What is your favorite classic?
I would say kind of a classic eighth grade would be The Hobbit. Because I think the whole hero's journey and seeing someone like a character like Bilbo Baggins, who is kind of an unexpected hero, become someone who's a leader and transforms from the beginning of the book, where you absolutely see him as someone who would not be able to face a challenge and overcome it, to at the end of the book when people are looking to Bilbo as their guide. I think if you could connect to that for some students who feel like, okay, you know, I can make changes to who I am, and I can see myself in the character and become a leader also when others maybe didn't see that in me, I can build that and become whomever I'd like to be. I love that particular part of that book, in seeing the unexpected hero become
the leader
in the end. Yeah.
That is so cool. I love that, Laura. I'm going to get tears in my eyes, because that gives everybody the chance to feel like, hey, everything is redeemable. You can look over, you can make a different choice, you can move forward in a different direction. So what a great theme.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing a little bit about eighth grade and language arts, and the fact that you are such an instrument for kids. And if you think of how many kids you've probably taught over the time, it's got to be thousands, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You've learned so many people that will make changes. So thanks, Laura.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Yeah. You have a good rest of your day.